Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas to improving government effectiveness. My guest today is Bob Riesner, author of the recent IBM Center Report, A Leader's Guide to Transformation, Developing a Playbook for Successful Change Initiatives. Also joining us from IBM is Bill Takis. So Bob, five major themes emerge as transformational leaders who you profile in your report describe the basic steps that they took to launching and implementing major change initiatives. So these five themes, and you alluded to them earlier, before we delve into each theme, would you highlight some of the key questions leaders must pose and answer prior to launching these types of initiatives?
Well, one of the things that's interesting about talking to transformational leaders today is that a decade ago, I think we all had the experience of it being clear that there needed to be change. When the internet began to transform the way in which business was done and people communicated, the idea that you needed to invest was clear. Today, there's much more emphasis on much greater need to think about what worked and what didn't and whether to launch and when to launch. And so I think that there's a lot of attention at the front end to what should be the nature of our transformation and how do I tee this up? Particularly, how do I create phases and how do I think about the timing and sequencing of actions that I need to take? So it's more than planning. It's really a larger sense of what do I need to do? How do I need to get my staff ready to do it? Maybe how do I build infrastructure that's needed in order to make this successful?
Does the question of is the organization mature enough factor into it in order that they can sustain the change, as Bill was alluding to in the previous segment, the idea of making this change sustainable through time?
Well, I think that's right, although, you know, we tend to think about the concept of an organization being mature and sort of we all tend to be glib and move past that quickly. Maturity has lots of dimensions to it, as does this some of the mechanisms that some of the leaders talked to me about that had to do with sustaining transformation. One of the things I found most interesting was a leader who I thought was doing some of the most controversial things. And I, in effect, was given the privilege of asking him the wise guy question about, you know, here are all these controversial things you're doing, but how do you know that they're going to be here next week after you leave? And he was very conscious of that. And what he was talking about was building a user group, building a constituency around the changes that a lot of people would agree were important, but we're going to be hard to keep going.
So these leaders, because of what they're engaging in, are running up against tough calls. They have to make tough calls. To what extent do they need a core structure that guides their actions? And if they do need this core structure, what does it look like?
Well, I think that there is a sense that there needs to be a compelling plan. We talk to leaders that range across the spectrum of the federal government. People were generous with their time from the Department of Homeland Security to the Veterans Administration to the State Department to the Postal Service. And as people talk to us, this issue that I just mentioned of the sequencing of activity and how to tee that up became particularly important in the sort of lore of transformation and in government. Frequently, people tend to find that it's so hard to get action at all that it's helpful, and we all confess to it having been helpful, that there was a burning platform that got to be a fire starter. But that may not be the smartest way to go about getting successful transformation. It may be in a given agency that it's critical to have staff that are ready to carry out the transformation. It may be that there's infrastructure that's critical to carrying it out effectively or any number of things. Heaven forbid that there are customers of the agency that need to be ready to accept the change. And while we may see that it's imperative to make a change, if the customers aren't ready for the change, it can undermine the good work that's done. And so I think at the front end, this compelling plan has to do with these issues that I just mentioned of thinking about timing.
That's very interesting, Bob, because, you know, most people would think that when you are faced with a compelling urgency to change, you have a burning platform to make that change. Can you go into that a little bit more about how important that is? Because you kind of threw that a little bit on its ear. But
in one place that you and I both have shared some experience in working with the Postal Service, it is an absolutely classic case of an issue that a professor at Harvard Business School, Clayton Christensen, has talked about when he wrote his book, The Innovator's Dilemma. And he's written a number of books and spawned a great deal of thought about that since. What he talks about is the difference between sustaining technologies and incremental change to fundamental change, disruptive change. Now, in a case like the Postal Service, as we know, it was an instant. Just recently, the Postmaster General said that this is not a sustainable business proposition, that it's a very large place that has high costs, and yet its customers have been changing the nature of what they wanted from the Postal Service. So it was a case where there was a driving need for change, and yet the customers may not be there yet. They may not be ready for that kind of disruptive change. What happens is customers aren't ready for the disruptive change until it's too late. And that was, I think, the point that Christensen made. And so it has a lot to do with thinking about the nature of transformational change and how important it may be to think it through up front.
When we think about strategic change, we think about oftentimes how leaders have to act with strategic intent and how they have to align that change with a very rigorous definition of their overall mission. Can you talk a little bit about that aspect of transformation?
Well, the idea of alignment is something that just came up in interview after interview. And I think there are a number of things that were driving that. First of all, that government agencies today are complicated, interactive entities, and constituents, and everyone has constituencies. And because of the transparency and the fact that that technology has enabled constituencies, government agencies are interactive, and the constituencies have voices about what's important to them. So to lead in this kind of a complicated environment where you need to make difficult communications to multiple layers within the organization and multiple different entities, it's particularly important to start with that mission. Mm-hmm. And that mission, which is often given by Congress and redefined by overseers, becomes the core from which the actions of the agency then can be defined and can enable change.
Well, Bob, you mentioned that engaging constituencies, stakeholders, is critical in order to make a successful transformation sustainable. So transformations cause change, and pain is the result of such change. How, from your research, what findings, what lessons learned did the executives give you in terms of the best ways to engage stakeholders throughout the process?
Well, in some ways, it's a very exciting degree of change that's taking place that has to do with the places that government has been open and has been enabling constituencies to interact. One of the leaders that I talked to was in charge of creating that kind of enablement. And it's dramatic how fast someone within an agency can create a blog or can communicate with constituencies. What we're all thinking through, though, is that there are security issues, there are privacy issues, there are any number of management issues that get raised as that kind of constituency interaction is facilitated. And the importance of engaging the constituencies is both naturally something that you need to do in order to make these transformational changes successful, but also I think it's wrong to believe that you can lead change of this kind and not have the constituencies interacting. The same technology that makes it possible for them to interact with the agency makes it possible for them to interact with one another. In an agency of social platforms, there's no reason that constituencies can't find common cause. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes critical to be successful to have that kind of engagement taking place at every stage in the process.
You spoke before about some work by Clay Christensen around innovation and the importance of innovation in transformational change. How important is innovation play in driving change through very complex government agencies that we're talking about here, federal agencies?
Well, the question of transformation is wrapped around the question of innovation, because innovation is the way in which someone defines the change, the future. And while it may be hard in government to imagine that change is going to or innovation is going to result from a visionary leader who's going to hand down what the future is going to look like, and in an interactive world like the one that I just was describing, that you could see in these interviews where these leaders of transformational change were interacting with multiple constituencies, it isn't as if someone can hand down this is what the future is going to be like and have everyone fall in line. But it is that certainly creating a process of change and innovation that everyone can believe in, that has integrity and that can gain legitimacy by having it incorporate the views of constituents. It means that successful transformation is centered by that notion of innovation.
And these efforts can be, you know, challenging to lead and quite subtle to manage efficiently and effectively. So I'd be interested, given your research, given the conversations you had with these government executives, what were some of their prescriptions on how to use best practices, assemble joint teams, ownership, and maximizing consensus in order to help drive these transformational initiatives?
Well, it's interesting that you bring up best practices, because one of the interviewees that we profile in the book was Richard Spires, who's the CIO of the Department of Homeland Security. And he described to me a problem that's not necessarily unique to Homeland Security, but certainly it's a characteristic, where an agency that was created only in 2003 is brought together with 20 different sub-agencies, each with their own information systems, some of them technologies, some of them highly secure, some of them dependent upon emergency response, and trying to integrate agencies, to create integrated data centers, to do the kinds of change that was ultimately necessary. The point that he makes is it's not that people are resisting integration, it's they're trying to do their job well. And the idea that something as critical to your job as information technology might be something that was going to change is a difficult challenge that everyone has to cooperate on. In that case, it was by using best practices, by talking about what is a best practice, that I think Richard felt that he was able to get collaboration around changes that was difficult for everybody.
What other tactics did these leaders give you in terms of that you could offer in your research that suggests how you can make a implementation process successful? What are some of the tactics that they used that were successful?
Well, one of the things that struck me was I just talked a minute ago about innovation, mm-hmm. and how innovation needs to center the transformation process. One of the things that struck me was you can't allow it to be marginalized, though. And it's so easy to create a little cadre of young Turks that are charging toward change, and where the core organization, in effect, can say, look, we have to do business day to day. We have to keep the lights on here. You guys go think about this innovation stuff. And it tends to not bring it into the core of the agency. And so the idea that you might need to create collaborative teams that have line managers and young Turks on the same team. Not only is the young Turk more likely to learn a few lessons about how to get the change to work in the agency, but also there's ownership of the change on the part of the core establishment. And it's not that the agency doesn't see the need to change. When I was recruited at the Postal Service, it was dramatic how many line managers who had been there for many years had been seeing the internet, in effect, coming, mm-hmm. and knew what kind of change electronic technology was going to mean for their core business, and how they celebrated the idea that Marvin Runyon was drawing in someone who was going to try and lead the creation of a digital strategy. But it doesn't mean that we were successful in creating that kind of integration that I just described.
What lessons can be learned from successful transformational leaders? We will explore this question and so much more when the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.